This is Great FM.
You know, when 2024 started, and yes, it has begun. Welcome back to Great FM, everybody. Ahalya here, keeping you company. But you know, when 2024 started, I told myself that I need to stop being so hard on me, myself. So I decided to sort of appreciate myself every day. Appreciation and being recognized for good work, right? Or even for the little things. I think those are universally beloved feelings and desires. Actually, people always say music is the universal language, but I think appreciation ranks pretty high on that list as well. And it's not just about the rush of feel-good hormones, but a very real effect that it has on the human mind. In fact, I was reading up on the idea of appreciation and its link to self-confidence, right? And there is a very, very clear link between those two things, feeling like, you know, I got this. And in the workplace, I think it's especially important to have that kind of culture of appreciation, especially as everyone rushing towards deadlines or working under pressure. So given the primal nature of this human experience, it does actually become a major concern for HR professionals, not to mention the impact that it can have on retention, talent acquisition, and more. And all of these, as we've learned over the past year through Great FM podcasts, are big priorities for the world and the future of work. So let's delve into conversation today about how HR professionals can and must pay attention to this very primal human experience in the year 2024. Welcome to the podcast, Sipika Singhal, Senior Director, Head Global Total Rewards, Brilio Technologies. Thank you so much for being with us, Sipika. Glad to have you on this episode.
Thank you, Helia. Pleasure is all mine.
So Sipika, do you agree with the idea that appreciation, while it's important in the context of a workplace, the kind of root to it is that it is very closely linked to a human being's experience just in life in general?
Definitely. Why not? You know, every one of us love a good word, a good recognition at workplace. And it makes our day that our efforts are in the right direction. And if I quote some statistics here, a single recognition can increase employee engagement by 8%. And here, if you're talking about like multiple recognition, then it will just imagine how the engagement levels will boost for an employee. Recently, you know, when there was a survey conducted in 2023 and employees are asked that, you know, what is the most important factor for you for success? 37% of employees have selected recognition. So it's a proven fact since ages, since historical times, that recognition plays a very favorable role in improving morale of the employee or, you know, productivity of the organization as a whole.
Okay, wonderful. So that gives us a great launch point, because my first question was going to be, when you look at reward and recognition, R&R, in the context of the workplace, do you think this has come under the spotlight even more in recent times, you know, coming out of the COVID pandemic and some major changes to the work landscape? Or do you think it's always been a very integral part of the HR ecosystem?
I think as history goes back, right, since very ancient times, even, you know, when we were living in an era of monarchy or, you know, kings were there, and then also for a good work done, they used to appreciate their maybe ministers or countrymen, right, by offering some sort of reward, maybe in the form of some jewels or some dynasty, right? And from there, whether it is Olympic times, then also leaf crowns were being awarded to the winners. So it has a place in the history that any good work being done has gone with the recognition, right? Since the advent of industrial revolution also, many scientific theories are there to prove that there is a positive impact on performance through rewards. So Taylor's theory, most of us in management books have studied that, how giving rewards significantly improves the performance of an individual. So it's not a very recent one. It dates back in time. It has a due place in organizations.
So, you know, the other thing, Sipika, when you think of reward and recognition, the first thing that comes to everybody's mind is material reward, right? That probably seems like the most tangible thing. But if we were to dive further into it as a cultural sort of tenet of an organization, how would you define the scope of reward and recognition? Is it just about the announcements and the vouchers and, you know, the employee of the month callouts? Or, you know, if there's more to it than meets the eye, what is that more?
See, what should be given as reward may have different layers to it, and it would have transformed over the how the industry is growing, today's industry as compared to some decades back. Then long tenures is being rewarded, right? So today we can't expect employees to be happy about, say, long-term tenure-based awards only. There are multiple aspects that need to be rewarded. Similarly, the common types of award that used to be there a decade before may have transformed today. Because earlier, maybe monetary and cash rewards were very prominent. Then personalized gift, a watch, or some memento, trophies, these were very common awards. Eventually, the experiences like a sponsorship to an event or some family trip for good performers, right? Sponsored vacations. Now, the personalization aspect is gaining momentum. It is decided that in an industry where you have multi-generational workforce working together, it's very difficult to think that what would somebody value more. So instead of zeroing down on a particular form of reward, the element of choice is being brought into rewarding. And that's why, as per, you know, some point-based reward is very common nowadays. So there's a marketplace in which an employee can go and choose any material of choice or any experiences, any services which is suiting his or his family or for his dependents, his own self, from those award points that he is getting for his performance or for his actions in the organization. And this marketplace is a good point for that is it is driven by technology. So whether we are working in a hybrid workplace or in office premise, it need not to be physically awarded. You can award the points in a virtual way as well. And there's a marketplace, virtual marketplace in which employee can go and redeem those points. So that works beyond geographies.
Yeah, no, that's lovely, because also I think it points to the thought that goes behind each of these initiatives. While they are maybe sometimes material in nature or tangible in terms of a voucher or a very obvious benefit that an employee can reap, I think the idea is also the thought that goes behind it. And that does speak to the cultural aspect of, you know, the entire R&R scope. When it comes to recognition, though, it's also vital, like you just said, you know, different people are probably going through different things at different periods of time. And as an organization, especially for the HR function, it's important to recognize that and cater to people, right? And that's kind of part of personalizing the experience, I think. But if you're going to consider an entire workforce, and I know that this is it, right? Sometimes the HR function does have trouble managing the numbers versus the experience. So how do you actually navigate reward and recognition in terms of such a large number of people?
See, for a large number of people, it is also important to understand the context of the organization in which you're operating. What is the generation segment, the age segment, knowledge, awareness, and education level, right? So, and whether they are full-time employees, contractual employees, partially in office, fully in office. So all those dimensions need to be carefully understood before how a reward is being awarded is decided, right? Because it should be appealing to the workforce. And also should be considered as something of value.
Right.
So few considerations, you know, I've always, before designing, it should always be there in mind that, you know, what are we awarding for? If that part is being taken care of well, then I think the entire effort and planning and the objective of a successful R&R program will fall in place.
Okay, I think that's some good direction. So, you know, in 2024, moving ahead, I think maybe this is a good time to segue into the key reward and recognition trends that every HR professional can look out for, and also how that's going to impact the approach towards employee recognition and experience on a whole. Would you like to carve those out for us right now?
You know, as we are working, the workplace has now no longer become a physical workplace. So we have multiple modes of work, which is acceptable nowadays. It could be remote, it could be hybrid, it could be in office. So for all those personas, we need to define a reward strategy in such a way that is appealing to all these personas and all the employees, whether they are gig workers or full-time employee or partially working for you or working from home, right? So while designing a program, some key trends that one should keep in mind is that customization is a very integral part, right? So if you're providing some room for personalization and customization, Then the element of an award, which is maybe understood well and is positively taken by employee, goes a long way. So, you know, the element of choice and how this is possible now very easily nowadays through technology and while awarding the rewards, if you're integrating it with a tech platform, then that becomes very easy to impart. And the experience that everyone in your organization, multiple ways of working, they have is also a similar experience.
Right.
Otherwise, you know, every time an employee is working from home, may feel that he's out of sight. That's why out of mind as well. Experience he gets through an email voucher or something will not be similar to somebody who is getting an award in front of the office employees and everyone clapping for him. So, so there is synchronization of experience also you achieve if there's a common platform. There's a huge debate earlier that is going on nowadays, you know, whether traditional form of awards were more motivating or versus the new age awards are good. So I personally believe and think that, you know, both the things are important. In larger organization, in new workplaces, it's important to have technology as core of enabler.
Right.
However, the physical format of awarding somebody and recognizing in front of a large audience is also an aspect that nobody can, you know, take away. The technology can't replace that. So in some shape or form, you have to do balance out and justice to be done with both the things. Wherever possible, in large employee forums, if there's a town hall, there is a all hands meeting, if the employees are being recognized there as well. And you can at least give the citations, the leadership is telling why the person is being awarded. What are those behaviors? So then it goes a very long way. It gives a positive message to the rest of the employees also, who can then aspire to work on those lines. And it also highlights that, you know, what are the behaviors that company or then organization is recognizing, the rightful behaviors. So that part is important. And maybe you can then choose to give the awards in through technology, through that marketplace, through a point system. But yes, the trend is towards creating a balance between the two.
Nice. I like that. Some sort of hybridization of R&R going on as well. But you've been in this a long, long time, Sipika, as a seasoned rewards professional. When would you look at a rewards program in an organization and say this one is successful? Like, what are the parameters of success when you're trying to gauge an R&R program?
That's a good one and a detailed one.
Yeah.
So I would say, you know, having worked in multiple industries, one thing that is very now a point that I take home very clearly is that there's no one size that fits everything, every organization. So we have to always curate the program for an organization.
Yeah.
But there are certain fundamentals, certain parameters that always work as guiding force for personalizing a reward program for an organization. So I can maybe dwell deeper on those aspects. And for ease of recall, I will tell you that it's ABCD of R&R. So it's very easy acronym. So five things that we should keep in mind. A is for adaptable. So the program has to be modular enough that it can be adapted to fit the needs of the different workforce arrangements. Employee can be partially working or part-time working, or it could be a remote or hybrid workforce, but it should be adaptable for all those work arrangements. Then comes B, which is beneficial. So when we design a program, the perceived value of the reward should be taken very positively by employee. So it should not happen that, you know, something can be of material to one set of employee, but for another set, another band or another segment of employee, it is not something which is valuable.
Right.
So it should be considered valuable. It should add to the employee value proposition at all levels.
Okay.
Then comes C, which is for customization. So the awards that we are designing, the program that we are designing should be, you know, customized based on the needs of employee.
Right.
Whether it is through gender, through the age group or through workforce generation, it should be customizable. And there's a very strong case for merit in customization because individual personas are different. Even if in one generation, maybe who is gig workers, right? There could be some employees who have a dependency of family on them. So we can't say that, you know, it's the millennials are individualist. That generalization is not possible in today's world, and it's not the right thing to do. So personalization, because every individual is unique. So what is his personal life journey? You can't judge basis of which segment the person is falling into. So if you give an element of choice and customization, so he can use basis his own sweet will. So that gives an added advantage and increases the value of an award for him.
Yeah, I think that's very, very fair. But what about the other side of that coin, Sipika, when you look at an R&R program and you know, wow, this one is definitely not going to be successful. What are the factors that contribute to that? And what are some no-nos, some distinct no-nos that HR professionals should absolutely follow so that they don't fall into a trap of like a bad R&R program?
See, one thing is there that it should be seen from a lens of sustainability and ease of administration. Sometimes we make very fancy programs, but then it's very difficult to sustain them. So what happens in 1 year, the experience will be very high, but then you don't think that, okay, next year it's asking for a lot of effort or it is becoming physically not possible to conduct such a program of such huge size and cost. So make sure that the design itself is in such a way it's sustainable for times to come. Even if the organization size grows, then also it is sustainable to do. Should not happen that this year you have awarded done cash reward of a huge size and proportion, but next year sudden blow in the industry and then you're erasing the entire program in itself. So longevity and continuity of what should be awarded in an organization should be seen from a long-term point of view.
Right.
Near term to long term, that what is the thing that organization is trying to achieve?
Mm-hmm.
And is our award motivating enough, that program is motivating enough to channelize the efforts of every individual in the organization in the right direction? That is happening, that means you are serving not just for some numbers to be achieved, mm-hmm. but also philosophically, everyone is channelizing and the culturally, you are trying to, bring everyone together. Now, other than that is something which is technology. If you avoid the role of technology in making this a scalable program, then there is a trap in which we are falling into, because you might design it for one location differently, but tomorrow the business is expanding. And then those locations which do not have a sizable presence, typically they do not feel integrated to the main headquarters. So delivery and the reach of the program should be kept in mind to avoid these failure of the program success.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, 2023 being the year of AI and then 24 being the year that we use that to our advantage is going to be very interesting to see that intersection, right, between R&R and AI. Thank you so much, Sipika. I think this has been a very insightful discussion and has given, for all the HR professionals out there listening to this podcast, I think gives a lot of good direction in terms of what we should be looking at, what we should be prioritizing when it comes to creating an R&R program that can actually truly reward and recognize our employees and our workforce. Thanks, Sipika, for joining us on Great FM. Loved this conversation.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
This is Great Defense.